offered her respects and described how Krishna was frolicking with his friends in the forest. So we find one servant of Srimati Vrindadevi, a Vansaki, means a girl of the forest, who had seen Krishna, and she brings Radha news of Krishna. Krishna held his flute in his left hand and a ball of red powder for playing holi in his right as he entered the forest. Subal and other close friends loudly sang improvisations on the Vasanta Raga. While relishing their sweet singing, Krishna moved his head in time with the tune. His lotus eyes rolled lazy with the intoxication of love. Two friends walked beside Krishna, offering him fresh tambula wrapped in golden palm leaves. As Krishna chewed the tambula, his lips turned red from the drops of betel juice. Krishna held the flute in his tender leaf-like left hand and an elegant stick in his right hand. He kept an enchanting panpipe made from leaves tucked in his belt. Krishna sported a shiny peacock feather atop his splendid curly locks. An attractive gunjamala hung from Krishna's neck. Sparkling rings adorned his fingers, and water lilies dangled from his ears. May I ask for a description of water lilies? Is it that there are these long, they have these long stems, and from time to time some little flower like this? Is this what a lily is?
I don't know. I think it's this white one you also find. Looks like a lotus, but it's more thin. They call it Kumuda.
Yeah, it is like a trumpet shaped flower. Oh, not really.
I think it's like the lotus, but it's just very thin.
Ah.
They call this water lily.
I see. I have an idea. Yes, that makes sense. And then it hangs a little bit like this, you know, bushy, almost bushy, isn't it? I'm sorry?
If this is the thing.
So, good. Water lilies dangled from his ears. Krishna looked supremely attractive in his celebrated cowherd attire that defeated the beauty of all his costly jewels and ornaments. Yeah. When Krishna ran along with the cowherd boys, the colorful Vaijajanti garland danced playfully on his chest, which was marked with the golden line of Lakshmi. Krishna preferred to wear Braja's natural flowers, berries, leaves and mineral powders offered by his boy friends, much more than the jeweled ornaments given by Mother Yashoda. The young boys carried sticks on their left shoulders, which had knapsacks of the best foods tied on them on the end. They looked magnificent with their flutes, panpipes and buffalo horns tucked in their belts. The sticks, and then at the end some little bags, huh? Some sacks, knapsacks. think you all have seen the pictures. They wore gunja berry ear ornaments and peacock feathers in their top knots. Wrapped in yellow cloth, their thin waist looked dazzling and handsome. They wore armlets, bangles, earrings, necklaces, waist belts, anchor belts, and jeweled belts tied with black strings, looking like creepers. The boys did not like the articles offered by their mothers as much as the natural ornaments they collected from the forest while tending the cows. So this is all what the Vansaki has narrated. So now she gets meditative. Vrinda's Vansaki merged her memory and thoughts of Krishna's beauty as he freely embraced his boyfriends. Then for the pleasure of Radharani, she glorified the wonderful qualities of Krishna's friends and servants. I take shelter of the lotus feet of Baladev, whose intimate brotherly love for Krishna is mixed with parental affection. Baladev has a deep voice and a complexion as white as an autumn cloud. His arms are very long, touching his knees. Shimmering blue cloth adorns his body, and golden earrings illuminate his cheeks. Baladev's ears are decorated with lotuses surrounded by bees. His forehead is decorated with musk tilak, and his broad chest is ornamented with a shining gunja necklace. Baladev showed his immense strength by killing Pralambasura. Let me take shelter of the chivalrous Balaram. That's the Vanasaki.
From the memory.
Yeah. Vanasaki means a servant of Vrinda Devi. Now comes Mandalibhadra, whose intimate brotherly love for Krishna is mixed with parental affection, and it appears radiant with pink cloth decorating his shining limbs, a club in his hand, a peacock feather on his head, and a shining complexion, black as a bee. Now, I worship Sridham, a dear bosom friend of Krishna. Sridham is the elder brother of... Yes. I worship Sridham, a dear bosom friend of Krishna, who has yellow, greenish cloth and a dark blue complexion, who holds a buffalo horn in his hand, who wears a copper-colored turban and a nice flower garland on his neck. Just adjust everything here. I offer my respect to Subal, a most intimate friend of Krishna, who assists Krishna's conjugal pastimes. His complexion is just like molten gold. He wears yellow clothing, a pearl necklace, and his beautiful eyes are just like blue lotus flower petals. By his talking and moral instruction, he gives joy to his friends. I worship Ujjvala, a most intimate friend of Krishna, who assists Krishna's conjugal pastimes. He has restless eyes and a dark blue complexion like Krishna's. He always wears orange cloth, spring flower decorations, and a pearl necklace. I am a follower of Raktaka, the personal servant of Krishna. He dons yellow clothing and his bodily color is just like new grass. He is very expert in singing It is always engaged in serving Nandanandana. I offer my obeisances to Krishna's servants whose limbs glow with attractive jeweled ornaments, whose complexions are gold, white, reddish, brown or black like a bee, and who are dressed just to suit their particular special bodily features. The Vrindavan forest and the boys' sports. We will just hear a little bit more. This is actually, I will run you through it real fast. It's a description of the forest of Vrindavan. These descriptions are very important for those who do meditation on Krishna, because they want to create a landscape, so to say, an environment in which Krishna feels well. So it describes the different animals, peacocks and bees. They are always there, the bees, they make a lot of, there's a lot of natural noise. Then there are lakes whose clear water resemble the minds of great souls. And it's always important, there are breezes in Vrindavan who carry the fragrance of the lotus flowers, and sometimes also small droplets of water, like the misty dew, so that it's always cool even in the midst of the summer. And there are many buds, and the trees serve Krishna as he enters the Vrindavan forest by bowing down with their branches to offer their fruits to his lotus feet. Then all the animals are described, mostly does. And it is said how much Krishna loves the forest of Vrindavan, because on the trees are the signs of his nails. He just, you know, pets the trees, and sometimes he leaves a sign. Yeah. Here's a very interesting description for here, and I want to request you to take special note. Krishna expressed his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants. Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the banks of the river Yamuna below Govardhan Hill. It's interesting that the Yamuna was flowing by the Govardhan Hill. Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. When Krishna was moving along the forest, he would respond to the mad singing of the bumblebees by imitating their songs.
Sorry, did I hear properly? The bees are closing their eyes?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. Yeah, they are very conscious. Sometimes they are described to be Krishna's most intimate devotees, because they can find him everywhere where he is, they always are around him, and they go to him even into the most secret kunjas. They don't stay outside. So they are very intimate. Let us not underestimate the bees and think they come close to the eyes when they sing. Sometimes Krishna would imitate the cooing of swans. Sometimes he vigorously imitated the dancing of a peacock, making his cowherd boyfriends laugh. Sometimes Krishna would imitate the chattering of the parrots. You know, when they fly and they go like the chattering of the parrots. Krishna would imitate it. Sometimes with a sweet voice he would imitate the call of a cuckoo. Cuckoo! Sometimes with a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds, Krishna would call out with great affection the names of the animals who had wandered far from the herd. Sometimes Krishna would cry out in imitation of birds, such as the chakoras, kronchas, chakravartas, bharadvajas, and peacocks. And sometimes Krishna would run away with the smaller animals in mock fear of lions and tigers. Then the cowherd boys are described how they decorate themselves from the forest of Vrindavan. Would you like to hear this? Decorating themselves with newly grown leaves, along with peacock feathers, garlands, clusters of flower buds and colored minerals. Balaram, Krishna and their cowherd friends danced, wrestled and sang. As Krishna danced, some of the boys accompanied him by singing and others by playing flutes, hand cymbals and buffalo horns, while still others praised his dancing. Sometimes the boys would play with bilva or kumbha flutes and sometimes with handfuls of amalaka flutes. They would play with handfuls of amalaka fruits. In my mind, you can only play with handfuls by jungling them, isn't it? Gling, 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 gling. But you don't know what the cowherd boys can do. Maybe they do other games. At other times, they would play the games of trying to touch one another or of trying to identify somebody while one is blindfolded, and sometimes they would imitate animals and birds. They would sometimes jump around like frogs, sometimes play various jokes, sometimes ride in swings, and sometimes imitate monarchs. You know what is a monarch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In this way, Krishna and Balaram played all sorts of well-known games as they wandered among the rivers, hills, valleys, bushes, trees, and lakes of Vrindavan. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, called together the cowherd boys and spoke as follows. Hey, cowherd boys! Let us play now. We will divide ourselves in two even teams. Then the cowherd boys chose Krishna and Balaram as the leaders of the two parties. Some of the boys were on Krishna's side and others joined Balaram. The boys played various games involving carriers and passengers. In these games, the winners would climb up on the backs of the losers, who would have to carry them. Oh, Krishna, if I remember all of this. You know, when I was a little boy, we had a park before our house, and I would know every tree in the park and would climb on every tree and play with my friends from morning till evening. And I remember it was so difficult to bring me to school because I only wanted to play. And I told all the friends they didn't have to go to school because my father is a Bahnhofsvorsteher, you know, the chief of the small train station. And I had more authority than the teachers, and my friends would follow me, and we would play all day. My father had to hire someone to bring me to the school because I was so uninterested to go to school. I only wanted to play. And I know this is a perverted reflection of Krishna's playing. I mean, I know all these games very well. The boys played various games involving carriers and passengers. Yes, of course. In these games, the winners would climb up on the backs of the losers who would have to carry them. Thus carrying and being carried by one another and at the same time tending the cows, you know, no problem. The boys followed Krishna to a banyan tree known as Bandiraka. You must know this banyan tree is very important. It stands in Bandiravan and it has big branches which go over the Jamuna. Defeated, the Supreme Lord Krishna carried Sridham, Bhadrasena carried Vrishabha, and Pralamba carried Balaram, the son of Rohini. When his elder brother, fatigued from playing, would lie down with his head upon the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna would help him relax by personally massaging his feet and offering other services. Sometimes Krishna grew tired from fighting and lay down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a cowherd friend as his pillow. Some of the cowherd boys, who were all great souls, would then massage his lotus feet, and others, qualified by being free of all sin, would expertly fan the Supreme Lord. So Krishna would actually expand himself into as many forms as cowherd boys were there, because naturally all the cowherd boys wanted to serve Krishna by providing their laps as a pillow for him. So Krishna, to accommodate and please everyone of the cowherd boyfriends, needed to expand. But he would do so without the knowledge of anyone else. When Radha heard these pastimes of her beloved from Brinda's Vansaki, she swooned in ecstasy. Although momentarily stunned, Radha yearned to hear more about Krishna and his friends. And we will hear more tomorrow. Oh, so many nice things, but so little time. Maybe we will hear about the power of Krishna's flute. Yeah, so Hare Krishna, what do we remember as something special?
I like very much the simplicity of those descriptions. How they are planning it, how everything is just so simple. It seems that, like you said, that must have been games we have done ourselves with friends, but they are actually doing that with Krishna. It's totally into another realm, but they don't need any complication. totally happy, satisfied just by imitating the animals and having such a simplicity, and I found that very beautiful.
Yeah.
And of course the bees in ecstasy that close their eyes for singing is, and I will never forget that.
The bee devotee.
I see that opulence, what is there, and the different colors we cannot describe because these colors don't exist in the material world. But I think if we could just shortly see how colorful and how much style every moment has, we could not forget that. Because we just hear that one of the cowherd boys, it's like new grass. What's that for a color? But if you see it spiritually, then it will be melting the heart.
Green body. This means, this really shows that everything is so entirely different. I think that was your point.
Yes.
I like so much how Krishna likes the decoration of the forest more than the ornaments that Madhava showed us. And it's so beautiful decorated with minerals, colorful minerals, and how they make flutes out of
the pan flutes, yeah, especially are, but they have also small flutes to call the cows. They're very small, but they have a long range. They go very far because they're so hell. So I don't, was it hell or there was something about this? Yeah.
I like how Krishna is interacting with everybody so much, like he is giving his attention and his love to everybody, even like he's touching the trees and he's running together with the small animals, running away from the big animals and interacting with the bumblebee, and that he gives the opportunity to each and every colored boy to serve him. It's so beautiful how we don't forget anyone or any, like, moving or not moving entity.
It's a wonderful point about, yeah, yes. I remember one detail that before, you know, there is a moment, a very tiny moment, before Krishna plays on his flute, you know, he takes his flute, and then he puts the flute to his lips, and then this moment before he starts is a very special moment for the bees, because the bees who sing in ecstasy give him a certain pitch. Pitch heißt in Deutsch Tonhöhe. You know, when Gaurahari and myself sing, sometimes he is too high or I'm too low, and then he gives or I give him the pitch by saying not but we have to start here and so the bees also do this. They give Krishna the right tonhöhe, the right pitch. And then Krishna thanks him. Thank you. This was exactly where I need to start. You know, thank you. So the bees are helping him in his musical. Now I like very much in this description something which I realized deeply. This year, you know, I had finished my preaching at the university in Haridwar, and there was still a day before Kartik started, so because I do like the Himalayas very much, I wanted to see this place, Vyas Chetty, where Srila Vyasadeva had performed austerities, a beautiful place at the old pilgrim track, which is situated at the banks of the river Ganga. It's there where the Ganga makes an Om, forms the letters of the sacred syllable Om. It's very extraordinary, very mysterious because of Vyasadeva's tapasya, really. So, on the way, we went through this beautiful nature with these silver-haired monkeys, not these Al Capones from Vrindavan, but these beautiful Hanuman monkeys, and there was a fox on the street looking at us. It was really like untouched nature, very small road. And we went through waterfalls and everything, and all of a sudden we came into a little village where Bhattari Vishal knew some people. So we stopped the taxi, and Bhattari Vishal gave prasadam to the different people. And they were very bright people, very clean faces. And they had the little field where they grew agricultural things, trees. And they were just very happy farmers. And when I was amongst these people, they were very simple, very pure, I understood this is actually how life can be so absolutely peaceful and nice. So why should God be a member of one of these crazy towns, you know, with this artificial, outblown lifestyle? It's really, it became so clear to me, this is much more happy. But in Kali Yuga, people have difficulty to understand how the Lord can be a cowherd boy, because they are so disenchanted and so much removed from the natural beautiful life. When I hear these descriptions of Krishna walking through the forest, playing his flute, how he interacts with the different monkeys, how he sings the voices of the birds, cuckoo, and so on, and how he is going with these extraordinary cowherd boys who also have top knots and peacock feathers and gunja berries and ornaments. And I really feel what could be a more perfect description of the kingdom of God. You know, I really feel like that. But we need to deculturalize a little bit, in other words, make a distance to our culture to fully appreciate. And all the time, there is in the back this great symphony of love playing, which moves all the animals, the trees, and ultimately the sakas and sakis around Krishna, like the leaves
which are moved by a wind around a tree. Very, very nice to know of that. Good, so this was a description of the forest of Vrindavan. I want to again say that this is a very important meditational element. You might sometimes feel, oh, again, such a prolonged description of nature. When does the action start? But the lila will only flow in the right frame, and therefore in this meditational handbook or guidebook, it's very important to give that lila, to give that frame for the lila. Otherwise, Krishna will not come into your meditation if you don't create a nice environment. He likes the forest more than the town. That is what I wanted to express with my Himalaya description. It is logical, or let me say, when you are in such an environment, you know immediately. Like now, don't we enjoy the atmosphere where there was no electricity? It meant everything became silent for some time, especially in Radhakund, you know, when there is no electricity, I jump up in ecstasy and dance. Krishna. Good, so let us end here. Hare Krishna.